Ah, yes, that means it's Friday morning and time for us to check in with Vaughn Palmer from the Vancouver Sun. Good morning, Vaughn.
And good morning, Simi.
I tell you, boy, yesterday as the day was going by, I've just felt like our list of things to talk about this morning was just getting longer and longer and longer. So let's start with the decriminalization issue, because it certainly sounds like this has gotten Ottawa's attention.
Yeah, you know, there's probably a big uh-oh out of Victoria. Ottawa suddenly noticed that decriminalization is in trouble out here, and there's some problems with it. And the reason that's a big issue is, you know, the New Democrats go on and on about all the support they had when they launched decriminalization. Everybody thought it was the way to go. And yeah, there may be some problems, but we're in control and we're going to continue it. And it kind of overlooked the fact that this wouldn't even be happening without the federal government's permission. So Ottawa created the exemption that allows decriminalization out here in BC. And again, the New Democrats don't really want to talk about this, but when Ottawa agreed, they attached some conditions and they warned. This is a 3-year experiment, but if it's not going well, we reserve the right to terminate it. So the news out of Ottawa yesterday that the federal minister, Yara Sachs, says, in light of that testimony at a health committee in Ottawa this week, BC has some explaining to do, and she's coming out here to get the explanations. That is not good news for the decriminalization experiment here in BC.
They always seem to have done it reluctantly, right? The federal government. So
it seems to me
like they don't want to get tagged with having said okay to something that isn't working.
They're skeptical, rightly so, and they attached conditions. You know, and the BC government is the New Democrats. You know, they've got the majority in the legislature. They've got the opinion polls on their side. They're not used to anybody telling them what to do. But in this case, the federal government going in said a couple of things. One of them is, you got to make sure that the police can still enforce the law against drug use where it's being done inappropriately. And that is the center of what the federal minister wants to know, because she heard the testimony at the committee in Ottawa this week from BC police senior officials, and they said, we can't do anything. Police can't do anything about this. Someone's snorting coke or smoking fentanyl next to you and your family on a beach. We can't stop them from doing that. It's been decriminalized. We can't go to the hospital and stop open drug use. It's been decriminalized. And the federal minister is saying, press release statement was, we were assured by BC that there are other ways to enforce the law around this. You could use loitering or vagrancy or trespassing or any number of other things. That's not happening. And I think it's a very good question and very encouraging that Ottawa is paying attention and going to come out here and say, what the hell is going on in British Columbia? And Simi, we've heard the health minister, the government scrambling for going on 2 weeks about the widespread evidence, whistleblowing by nurses, of the amount of open drug use that's going on in the hospitals. And we've got a task force to deal with it. Yeah, well, the task force can work away, but the minister is coming out here. And as I said, our news coverage today has the quote. Carolyn Bennett, who was the minister in charge when this was done, warned right from the beginning that the federal government reserved the right to end the experiment early if it's not going well.
But let me ask you this, Vaughn. Does this not also give the government an out?
Simi, that thought crossed my mind as well. You know, maybe they're not all that disappointed idea that the federal government ride to the rescue. The New Democrats do not want to admit that this experiment has gone so badly that they might have to end it, you know, what, it's a little over 1 year into the 3 years. Because they're ideologically wedded to the idea that this is a great solution to the problem. So, yeah, I have to say, you may be right, Simi, that, Well, you know, if the feds came out here and said, you know, you guys don't have a handle on this thing at all, and we're going to end the experiment, it might be a giant sigh of relief in Victoria that, okay, we're off the hook on that one in an election year. We'll clean up the mess after the votes are counted, and we no longer are accountable for this thing because the federal government's ended the experiment.
Well, that sounds awfully convenient. Okay, we have more to talk about, including...
Well, they might be doing us all a big favor out here, Simi. You know, we've seen what went on in Oregon, and, you know, you're right. It may be that we need to be rescued by Ottawa from a government that will not face up to what a failure this thing is.
All right, let's also talk about Surrey policing. Yes, back in the news, because, Vaughn, so many letters back and forth, back and forth. And I thought, how is this still happening?
Are you shocked, Simi, like I am, that there are still some loose ends in this Surrey policing thing? I mean, I thought that the government had stopped it all with their final, no kidding, this is actually the final offer, you know. But here we go. So, yeah, the correspondence. So yesterday we had what? A letter from the commissioner of the RCMP to Mike Farnworth saying that he was surprised that Farnworth was clearing this, claiming this whole thing was wrapped up, because it wasn't. And there wasn't a clear agreement that RCMP officers in Surrey would give way and Surrey Policing Service would take over. And then Farnworth released not one, but two letters from federal politicians, so not the RCMP, a deputy minister, civil servant, and then the minister, saying, we're really glad that things are underway. So, I don't know, I guess the thing that doesn't surprise me is that the situation is not clear out there, and whether it will ever be clarified, I don't know. I would point out, Simi, that last week, when Farnworth announced that the final offer, which really was a final offer of $250 million, had been turned down by Surrey, he said, we're going ahead and I will be announcing the transition plan next week. Well, unless he gets that out today, he's missed his first deadline. We're now hearing that, no, it'll be next week, which will be 2 weeks later than he originally said. So supposedly we're going to get this transition plan next week. Forgive me if I await the details before I announce this thing is over.
Yeah, me too. I'm also, I have so many questions about what Surrey was doing in the era of Surrey Mayor Doug McCallum, who was also telling us everything was all done in civil. Like, these kinds of questions that were brought up yesterday, I feel like Surrey should have dealt with these questions when their mayor was on board years ago.
Well, I think the people of Surrey have been greatly let down by everyone who serves them throughout this fiasco. There is plenty of blame to go around. I also venture to guess that some New Democrats must be wishing, why the hell did we ever get into this thing? Why didn't we just let the new Surrey Council and Brenda Locke go back to the RCMP and take all the consequences of that and just stand there and say, we told you so?
Yeah.
By intervening, the New Democrats took ownership of this thing, whether they want to admit it or not, and it is turning out to be just a nightmare getting this thing done. And even if we get a transition plan next week, Simi, you know that the transition plan is just a plan for transition. It doesn't say the transition is over. It doesn't say there won't be any more messy consequences. It doesn't say there won't be any more hidden costs. And of course, Mayor Locke is saying, if the province persists in enforcing this, she's going to put out a financial statement this fall telling Surrey ratepayers what it's going to cost them. And no, it's not a coincidence that that will be coming out probably in the middle of the provincial election campaign.
I think what changed for them is they didn't realize how stubborn Mayor Locke was going to be on this, right? Who expected that?
She's the mayor of Surrey, right?
I know.
They go, oh, she doesn't have a mandate. Look, the New Democrats have taken office in this province with fewer votes than their opponents. You know, they've taken office with less than 40% of the vote. Where do they get off claiming that somebody doesn't have 50% of the vote and doesn't have a clear mandate? She's the mayor of Surrey.
Yeah.
And they might as well have admitted that right at the beginning and dealt with her on that basis, which they've not done.
I also wanted to ask you as well about the center, the company here at the center of all of those allegations involving kickbacks or whatever, MMP, which has been very aggressive and kind of, it seems like, behind the scenes in responding to this.
Yeah, so the company in the middle of this, Edison Motors, this little company in Merritt that wanted to build electric logging trucks in British Columbia, the small operator, couldn't get a grant, blew the whistle on the way MNP was dealing with them, and that triggered the investigation by the Auditor General. The MNP is now threatening to sue this little company. And Rob Shaw asked the great question at the Premier's news conference yesterday. Edson Motors is a little small operator. MNP got $14 million from the provincial government last year. Is it fair and reasonable that they can use their vast resources and lawyers to basically shut down a little operator? Because, you know, they can bankrupt them just with legal fees. And the premier was good on that one. He said MNP should be very careful what they're doing. BC has whistleblower protection. It has anti-slap suits, and you can look up what that one means. And they better be damn careful about going after this small operator. That company is putting its whole reputation at risk just with the bullying here. Never mind what the Auditor General might find. I thought the Premier hit the mark on that one yesterday, and very good work by Shaw to have dug this out.
Right. So there's still a lot going on here with that whole case.
Yeah. And we found out, again, through work by Rob Shaw, that MNP is also involved in Buy BC grants, right? So, you know, my question is, why do we need all these outsiders to vet government grants when we've got a giant public service? But they are doing the work. But the premier is basically saying, we've got a legitimate concern here raised by a small operator out there, the kind of company the government wants to help and should be helping, and trying to gag them with the threat of legal action is not going to be well received in Victoria. And if I took it as a pretty strong hint that if MNP wants to continue its lucrative relationship with the BC government, it better back off quickly.
Oh, boy. Okay, so there's more to come on that for sure. Vaughn, thank you.
Bye-bye, Simi.
See, so much to fill you in on BC politics. That's Vaughn Palmer there from the Vancouver Sun.